The following message is by Reverend Sandy Kareen at the Revival Center in Clovis, California.
Good morning and welcome to the Revival Center. I'd like you to turn to the book of Luke. We're going to read verses 6 through 9 out of chapter 13. 6 through 9, Luke chapter 13. Speaking of Jesus, the Bible says he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, and he planted it in his vineyard. And he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. He says, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? See, there was a fig tree. It wasn't by accident that it was there. We have a fig tree on purpose planted in a vineyard. Get that in your mind. Okay? On purpose, a fig tree planted in a vineyard. Seems weird to me. Let's finish up down below. And he answering said unto them, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. It means, you know, fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Now, set aside the fact that a fig tree did not belong in the vineyard for a minute. And throughout what we're going to talk about briefly this morning, I want you to keep in mind that there is a fig tree planted on purpose in the vineyard, and it is not an accident. I want to find out with you this morning exactly what is a typical vineyard. We're going to go. You don't have to go, but you can listen, and I'll give you the verses later. The description of a vineyard by Isaiah, it goes like this. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press thereon. That is from Isaiah 5, verses 1 and 2. Jesus, he goes forward and he speaks of a vineyard. Listen to what he says. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen. That is recorded in Matthew 21, 33. These two accounts list 8 interesting facts that are true of many vineyards today. We're going to talk about a vineyard so you get your mind wrapped around it, and then I'm going to destroy it, okay? Just in case you have extra space in your mind, we can use it up and recycle it in just a minute. They are often located on a hillside. This is what we read. They usually have a hedge or fence round about them. The soil is cultivated by hoeing or spading. Another thing it says, large stones are gathered out of the ground. Choice vines are planted. A watchtower is built. A wine press is constructed. And sometimes the vineyards are rented out. The vineyard is important, and it's consistent with the Old Testament and the New Testament, and even today in our life application. But surprisingly, this word vineyard is only mentioned in its specific use one time in the entire Bible. Now, you would have the word vineyard mentioned before, and it would mean specifically what we have just learned in the last 5 minutes, a vineyard. That's a vineyard. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. That's a vineyard. That's what it's supposed to be. Well, I will tell you now, the outside of that word vineyard, as we have discovered, it means a vineyard. But no other time in the word does it actually mean a vineyard. I'm going to explain that in just a minute. On the outside, it means vines, vineyard, hillside, all that stuff, things that produce vine. But in this scripture, in Luke 13... It doesn't mean a vineyard, soil tilled, rocks removed, hillside, wine press, vines planted. It doesn't mean that. It means something else. It means the fact that we are the vine dresser. We are the one that prunes. And I want to explain this to you in just a few more minutes and something easier for you to get. It means a vine dresser, a pruner. Vineyard in Luke 13 means the one who tends to the vineyard. Luke 13, 6 to 9, what we read about vineyard is talking about the one who tends to the vineyard. Don't get lost. Hang in there with me for a minute. A vine dresser, a pruner, a laborer in the vines means a vine worker. It means one who toils in the soil by occupation. One who toils in the soil by occupation. That's what vineyard means. In other words, it's the opposite of every other time in the Word of God when vineyard is used. And there's a reason for that. It's less about the vines and more about the vine worker. Now, knowing that, let's revisit the passage from Luke 13. Now, understand that this was a huge gathering when Jesus is speaking this. He's not on the street corner talking to a couple people. It's a large gathering. Jesus is subjected to the Pharisees just before that, coming against him and coming against him hard. But he is not weary for their trickery and their entrapment or their efforts to do so. He rises up in the midst of that adversity. In the meantime, that means after he's been getting the snot kicked out of him emotionally, in the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people. So the crowd comes to visit Jesus. This is the situation that we have in Luke 13. There were a lot of people. You couldn't number them. There were so many. That's a lot of people, right? There's a lot of people. The Bible says, insomuch that they trod upon one another. They were trampling each other is what they were doing. They were sitting on each other, standing on each other, trampling each other to get to Jesus. That's the situation that we have. Now, he ends the sermon of the fig tree and goes on to teach in the synagogue. The Bible says, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath, right about verse 10. So, coming upward, verse 6 to 9 is the ending of this fabulous sermon with tons of people that are stacked up on top of each other. Are you with me? He says something important. Chapters in the Bible are not always specific to events, so understand that the environment that we are in when we read this, it's a very anxious environment. It's a very full environment. Luke 13, 6 through 9, I'm going to read it again because I want you to get this. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. And said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now remember, we're talking about a vine dresser. One who prunes the vines, one who tends to the vine, a laborer in the vine, one who labors and toils in the soul, a vine worker. When I was vice president of a manufacturing company, a sales manager came to me and he made this statement. He was disappointed that his crew was not able to make more sales. And I'm listening, I remember that. He was disappointed they couldn't make more sales. And he said, well, you know, you can't make a horse drink. I mean, you can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. And I remember specifically standing up and looking at him and saying, it isn't your job to make them drink. It's your job to make them thirsty. And it's still true today, and it's true in every situation. It's certainly true in Christianity. Living the Christian life, like in evangelism, it's the same. They should want what you have. I want to be who you are because of the gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit, he's going to take it from there. There's no need to worry about it. I'm going to ask you a question this morning, and we're going to go over 5 points, and then we're going to move on. You ready? The question is, who has a fig tree in their vineyard? You're not sure right now if you have one, but I'm going to explain to you what it is. How often do we seek fruit from the fig tree in our vineyard? The fig tree is planted there on purpose. But the fig tree is something that is inconvenient, it is uncomfortable, and it doesn't look right. Is it that person that annoys you that the Lord's asked you to be kind to? That's a fig tree for sure. Is it a lawsuit? Is it a broken relationship? Is it a job you don't like? The fig tree was planted on purpose. And the owner of the vineyard who planted that fig tree comes by and says, just get rid of it. And I want you to know that's failure. I want you to know that's a great loss. And we'll take it as the Lord's speaking to us, saying, you know, time's up. You screwed that up. You blew that. There's no more time for that. You keep pounding on that past time. You're going to be past due, overdue, and it's going to ruin your life. It's going to cumber the ground. Let it go. The trouble is, when we have a fig tree, often we just complain that it doesn't have any figs, even if we don't like figs. We just want figs on it, you know? It just feels right that it would produce something. But the trouble with this is, if you're busy complaining about your fig tree not having figs, then pretty soon what's going to happen is you're going to forget to minister healing to the fig tree. And then your 3 years is up, and God's going to say, cut it loose. And then you're going to say, oh, wait, I have this fertilizer. And guess what? Too late. If there's a fig tree in your life, you had better find out why it's there. You had better find out what you're supposed to do about it, what you're supposed to do with it. Is it supposed to produce figs or not? Why is it there? Don't just complain about how annoying the dumb fig tree is. Heck, man, you're a vineyard guy. You don't know anything about figs. What do you care? What do you know? You're going for the grapes. Well, there's a fig tree there. And you have to deal with it. Not me, not somebody else, you. You have to deal with your fig tree, and I've got to deal with mine. Because if we don't deal with it, time goes by, and pretty soon the Lord says, well, cut that out, cut that down. We'll move on to the next thing, and we'll see if you can do the next thing, right? I'm almost positive there's a guy in hell because of me right now. I tried to talk myself out of it, you know? I try to think like, you know, there was an awesome nurse that came and got him, but, you know, I'm just not sure, you know? I'm not sure. And the thing is, he was a fig tree, and I was trying really hard. He was at my job. I was trying to help him grow a fig so he could move on to the next guy and wreck his vineyard, you know? And I just thought a living example was enough, but it wasn't. And I knew he needed the conversation, and I didn't give it to him. He was a... You know, he's mean and cantankerous and, you know, and all that. But he liked me, but he would only take me so far. He hurt his arm. It broke in some weird place in his shoulder. He was in the hospital. You know what I'm going to tell you? I was sick. And back then, buddy, I was really sick. My cystic fibrosis was out of control. I've got 2 babies, and I'm working full time, and I was ill. And I knew I was supposed to go to the hospital. I felt like I should go right now. And I thought, well, he's not going to die or anything. I mean, it's a broken arm. What's the big deal? I'm tired. I can deal with all this, and then I'll go later. I'll go in the morning on my way to work. There you go. Fits in with my vineyard schedule, right? The guy died in the night. And I spend all these years, that was 35 years ago, I spent all this time thinking, man, I wonder if somebody got to him. I wonder in the last moments, you know, maybe an angel came and said, here is the truth. And it was like, okay, then he dies. I don't know. And I don't want God to tell me he made it to heaven, because I use that guy as a constant provoke of my life. Don't let another fig tree get away. That's why I'm so annoying, frankly, because I can't take it, you know. I can't take another one. So I got a guy. I don't know if he's in hell or not. If he is, it's really sad, because I lost my opportunity. Understand what I'm trying to say? I lost it. He was a fig tree that I took time with, that I did not push him, did not provoke him to understand anything, because I got busy with my vineyard. There it is, laid out in front of you, guts and warts and all. You can get busy with the vineyard. A vineyard's nice. We even like the name vineyard. It even sounds good, vineyard. Sounds great. Fig tree, you know, it's not that romantic of a sounding thing. It's a fig tree. Most people like grapes. A lot of people hate figs. You know, there's this whole thing that goes with it. So I think along life's road, we have to realize this verse, and this verse only, is specifically speaking to us, the ones who are dressing the vineyard, the ones who prune the vineyard, the ones who look out and say, oh, hey, there's a fig tree there. And the fig tree is different than the wheat and the tares, because the wheat and the tares, they are allowed to grow together for some bizarre reason. If you're a little bit lazy and you get a tare in with your wheat and it looks the same and you can't tell the difference because you're weak and you're just blowing it, you know, you're just not paying attention. You don't get it. They grow up together and you say, oh, massive reconstruction of my soul. This is horrible. I have tares in here. What am I going to do? Well, then the tares take on little weird faces and you begin to know, ah, that's not wheat. But a fig tree is different. A fig tree will either bless somebody or curse somebody. In the name of you, in the name of me. So we have to be careful. And how do you know what a fig tree is? It bothers you, you know. There's five lessons we're going to learn in the vineyard. You ready? One, it is not about you. Thank the Lord, right? But we forget that lesson. It is not about you. We expect that situation, that circumstance or opportunity to bless us or to yield to us. Not God. That's a mistake. It should yield to God, not us. The fig tree is not about you. It's about you doing the work of the Lord so that fig tree can honor God. Two, something you need to, I mean, I'm sorry to not be Captain Encourager, but, you know, I'm never Captain Encourager, so what do I care? But two, failure is looming. Not success, failure. You know why failure is more prevalent in the fig tree than success? Because from the get-go, it is work. And because it's work, we tend to fail. And look at, man, I'm standing in a vineyard. There's a lot of work I have to do here. A lot of work I'm called to do. A lot of work I should do. And if my vineyard fails, then I don't get the money I need to provide for my family. You know, the vineyard's way more important than the fig tree. These are things I say to myself. But nevertheless, the clock is ticking. The fig tree, old figless wonder, is growing. And I have a decision every day that I have to make. Am I going to ignore what is apparently right in front of me? Or am I going to dive in and say, wait a minute, the fig tree, it needs something, and I got to find out what it is. And it's never going to bless me. We're going to rise up and tell that thing how to bless God. But it takes time. You're talking about digging up manure, man. You know, digging ditches and putting fertilizer on it. It's very unvineyardy stuff, you know. But yet we have to learn how to do that. So that's why I say failure is looming. Failure is easier to accomplish than success in almost every situation, but of course, especially in this situation. The fig tree is watching you to see if it should believe you when you come by to minister to it, and exercising the fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians 5 makes all the difference in the world to winning a fig tree over to the walk of Christ. Number three, deal well. If it is not dealt with, it will destroy and or harm the rest of the vineyard, because it's got a look to it. It's got a depressing smell to it. It's a failure. If you don't deal with it correctly, it will wreck your vineyard, I'm telling you. If you don't deal with it right, it will ruin your vineyard. It will want you to lose sight of your vineyard, which is not something you should do. You have to win it over to the Lord. Number four is to beg mercy. The fig tree needs you to pray over it and ask God for mercy concerning it. These are points that I have pulled out, and you will find more, I'm sure, as you look in verses 6-9. The fig tree needs you to pray over it. The fig tree needs you to have mercy on it and ask God for mercy. Instead of saying, oh, like I did, that annoying guy, oh, man. I should have prayed, you know, that God would be there. I mean, I sent him flowers one time, large bouquet, thinking that would get him to be like, I cared. That guy was slippery, man. I should have worked harder. He looked at me and he said, I hate flowers. It's like, oh, because he was sick once before. He was just hateful. I mean, he had his good moments, but he wasn't my favorite guy. Well, because he's not my favorite guy, that's a tip off. Hey, not your favorite guy? Fig tree. Not your favorite situation? Fig tree. And the last point here is to make it a mission. The fig tree is going to take work, and it takes you finding a purpose in your vineyard to minister to something that apparently and obviously does not belong there. The fig tree needs you to make it a mission from you in your vineyard. You have to dig a trench around it, you have to fertilize it, and you have to fill that time with godly influence. And you have to be on your game, because failure is looming. Success, you got to chase. Failure's sitting right there. He lets you sit on it if you want. Now, to recap these things, we have to understand, in number one, that it is not about us. Amen? Do not take the fig tree personally. Well, he said that, she did that. Who cares? It's a fig tree. You're actually allowing yourself to be affected by a fig tree? That's not right. You're supposed to be full of the fruit of the Spirit. Do not let the situation hurt you. Don't let the words hurt you. People are always supposed to do something better than they do, for the most part. Then they wake up and they're nice, but then you're not there to see that part, usually. The fig tree is standing in a vineyard. Now, it can't feel that good about itself, right? If I'm a fig tree, I would like to be in my orchard of fig trees. But I'm a fig tree standing in a vineyard. I just like got loser stamped right on it from the get-go. You know, the things that the fig tree has to deal with is not, you know, not that easy. So it's having a hard time anyway. So understand going in, it's really not about you. And understanding that failure is looming is going to help you, because this is an emergency and you have to engage in it. Your fig tree needs to be worked on. You can't keep ignoring it, because a time is going to come when the Lord says, that project is over. We're moving to the next one. And you're going to say, yeah, but wait. And he's going to, no, too bad. That is called a loss for you. I'll get a more capable person to deal with that. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you're the last line of defense. Maybe you're the last safety net that person will ever get. Guilty? I don't care. I'm using everything I got, right? If you're guilty, then be guilty and deal with it and get over it and quit being guilty. It's not okay to say, well, you're making me feel guilty. No one's making you. You either are or you aren't, right? If you have figs in your vineyard or a fig tree in your vineyard, you have to deal with that. Do not ignore the situation. Number three, when you're dealing with it, you can't ignore it. That's what's important. When you're dealing with it, you cannot ignore it. And I'm telling you, you have fig trees in your vineyards. Do not ignore them any longer. Pray over it. Beg mercy for it and pray over it. Make that fig tree your mission is number five. And I want you to remember that Romans 8 tells you that every little thing is going to be okay. Do you believe me? Your landlord. Man, your neighbor's dog. Maybe that's like super annoying. That's your fig tree. You gotta pray that through to the other side. There are fig trees in our vineyards, no matter how we try to pretend they're not, they are there. If something's bugging you, bothering you, causing you to not perform what you're supposed to in the name of God, it's a fig tree. Can't get rid of it. You can't walk around it. You've got to deal with it. Amen?
This message has been by Reverend Sandy Kareen of the Revival Center in Clovis, California. For more information about this ministry, visit our website at www.therevivalcenter.info.